good morning, everyone.
Father, we thank you that we can gather in your house on this Lord's Day. Thank you for all your goodness and grace to us throughout the week and for all the blessings that we enjoy so much. We just pray that you will guide and help us in all that we do today, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. We do pray, our Father, for those who cannot be with us today. We pray for Pastor Steve and for Dawn that you'll be with them as they're down in York. Watch over them and keep them and bring them safely back again. And we pray, dear Father, that your holy will might be done in everything that we do and say today. We pray that you'll comfort the hearts of those who are grieving, that you will meet their needs in every way, and supply the need, dear Lord, of those who are suffering at this time with any kind of illness. We just pray that you'll raise them up again. May your holy will be done. Bless and guide and help us in all that we do today. Be with our missionaries and meet their needs, guide and direct them, and lead them by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to look at the whole chapter pretty well. But anyhow, he's talking about the first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas had as they started out working with the Gentiles. An important chapter. So let's read the first part of this. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister, or as their attendant. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Let's have a word of prayer again. Father, we thank you for all your grace and mercy to us. And Lord, how wonderful it is to see the beginning of the missionary movement here with Paul and Barnabas going out for the first time to the Gentiles in an organized way. Thank you for those who have gone after them, the missionaries who are now around the world preaching the gospel. Thank you for each and every one of them. Thank you for the ones that we're able to help here, 10 missionaries. And we pray your blessings upon them, upon all of those who are serving you. We pray, our Father, for Israel. We pray that your will would be done there. Lord, we know that you chose Israel in the beginning, and you have maintained your promise to them down through all these years, even in their unbelief. And we thank you that they are going to be preserved until the end. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us as Americans to support your people, the Jewish people. We know that we are allies. Pray that we might maintain that, and that we might continue to help them through all that they are going through. We know there's a great hatred, our Father, somehow, for the Jewish people, no doubt instigated by Satan himself. And we just pray, O Lord, that you will undertake for them and keep them in your care. Help us, our Father, to do all we can to bless the nation of Israel. You said you will bless them that bless Israel, and you will curse them who curse them. So may we be on the right side. Our Father, we do pray this morning that you would be with each one of us and guide us in our daily life, that we might be faithful to you and love you and serve you. We know these are turbulent times that we live in. So much is going on, all of the conflicts, and we just pray that you'll help us to keep our heart and our mind centered upon you, to know that you are on the throne and that we can depend upon you no matter what. Give us joy, give us peace, give us love, and help us to honor you and serve you as we should. May Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, be glorified through everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name. Let's look back once again in Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts unfolds God's program of reaching the world with the gospel. As we've seen, this involves three distinct phases. You notice back in Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, Jesus said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So we see the plan of God is to reach the whole world. First to the Jews, then to the Samaritans, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Beginning in chapter 13, we have an organized effort to reach out to the ends of the earth. Paul begins his career as a missionary and launches out on his first missionary journey. So notice what happens. First of all, we see that this is God's work, right? It says they were called by the Holy Spirit of God. There were in the church all these different ministers. He mentions a number of them. Barnabas is first. Saul is mentioned last. And we find here that the Holy Spirit of God spoke and said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So we find here the church at Antioch was the center of Christian activity at this time. Jerusalem had been, and now it has been transferred to Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas and the others are serving there. And there's a number of these qualified teachers and prophets in the church that would be able to serve the Lord, and he chose two of them for a specific ministry. He chose these two men, Barnabas and Saul. And he commissioned them by going out and preaching the gospel to those who had never heard it before. This is virgin territory where they were going as missionaries. Sent out by the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 4, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, they departed. They went first to Seleucia, then to Cyprus, and another place. Barnabas was from Cyprus, you remember. So no doubt they wanted to go there and reach his own people with the gospel. And so that's where they started out in that area and began their ministry. And we find here that they are going to be, right away, are going to be opposed. You know, whenever God sets out to do something, there's always opposition. Right? Always. You find it all the way down through history. And here we find the missionary team here going out. It says that there was Paul and Barnabas and John Mark was with them. He was their assistant, helping them with whatever needed to be big to be done. He was a relative of Barnabas. Some say nephew, some say cousin. So we won't get into that. But anyway, we find that these people were going out to serve. And right away, we find this opposition shows up. As they got to this island, Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. Okay? Sorcerers are not God's way, right? They are, that's the other side. And he's someone who is trying to predict the future and trying to work out these spiritual things without the help of God. And so we find this going to be a disaster. This man, it says he was a false prophet. Brother Steve's been talking a lot about false prophets lately. And this is one of them. A Jew. So he should have known better, right? But he didn't. His name was Bar Jesus. Isn't that interesting? You know, the word Bar means son of. Bar Jesus. He's the son of Jesus. The only problem was he was not the son of Jesus. That was his name, but he didn't live up to the name that he was given. He was there with the dignitary, this deputy, as it says here, or the proconsul of that area, Sergius Paulus. He says he was a man, he wanted to hear what they had to say. A prudent man. He wanted to hear Barnabas and Saul and desired to see what they would tell him. But this sorcerer, Elymas, or Bar Jesus as it's called, withstood him, seeking to turn him away from the truth, from the faith. So, this is interesting. It's wonderful back in the early days when they had all this power, the power of the Holy Spirit working in such a marvelous way. And here it says, Saul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. He says, let me see what you're doing there. And what he doesn't have some very nice things to say about this man. Verse 10. Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief. Child of the devil. Enemy of all righteousness. Wow. He didn't mince words, did he? You know, usually we say, well, you know, let's be nice to these people, you know. Well, here, Paul knew that he was interfering with God's work. And so he told him the way it was. He says, will you continue to pervert the right ways of the Lord? In other words, he struck him down and he was blind for a season. Notice the goodness of God, you know. He didn't blind him permanently. He blinded him for a season. That way he can think about what he's doing here, right? Stop and think about this. Hey, I'm working against God. I've got to change. Hopefully he did. We don't know if he did. But we find here, he says, you will not see the sun for a season. So it fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about looking for somebody to guide him, to lead him around. Poor guy was actually handicapped in this way. He couldn't get around by himself. And so then when the deputy, or the proconsul, saw what was happening here, he said, my goodness, this is really something. You know, what kind of a God do we have here that makes a man go blind all of a sudden? Can't get around. And so he believed. He put his faith and trust in the Lord and was converted. So this is a great victory, right? This man is a government official, one who is in charge of this whole area. So what a wonderful victory it is when he came to Christ and put his faith in him. And we find here that this was something that God was blessing. And notice in verse 13, already after Paul did this miracle through the Holy Spirit, it says, now when Paul and his company. Now, up until this time, they've been talking about Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Paul. But now, it says, Paul and his company. Barnabas slipped back into the background, and Paul becomes the leader. And so they went on their way to another place. And then it says, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Uh-oh. What happened? John, it doesn't explain it, but we know that Paul didn't like it, right? John Mark decided that, you know, he'd had enough. I don't know. Maybe he was homesick. Maybe he had something else he wanted to do. But at any rate, we find him leaving them, and later on we find that Paul finally forgave him. He wouldn't take him on the next missionary trip. But later, he says, take Mark and bring him with you, because he is profitable to me for the ministry. That's what he told them over in 2 Timothy. So later on, they got things worked out. But now, you know, in a way, this was beneficial to the cause of Christ, right? Because now we find Barnabas takes Mark, and he goes one way, and Paul takes Silas, and he goes another way. Now you've got two missionary teams going out instead of just one. So it worked out. And we find that God is blessing this. And then here, the rest of the chapter that we haven't read yet, is Paul bringing the message there in Antioch in Pisidia. Now, this is a different Antioch. There was Antioch in Syria where the church is located, and now this is another place in Pisidia, Antioch, where Paul is going to preach. He goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, sat down, and later they call on him to come. Hey, do you have something you want to say? And he begins, right? Paul always had something to say, didn't he? He had a lot to preach about, and let's read it here. Verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. So there were Gentiles. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt, as strangers in the land of Egypt, going back to their days of slavery. And with a high arm, he brought them out. And about the time of 40 years, he suffered their manners in the wilderness. Okay. Moses led them out of Egypt. They got out into the wilderness. They were only supposed to be a short distance to the promised land. But they spent 40 years wandering around out there in the desert with these people complaining continually about everything. Oh, my. Is that terrible? They were liberated from slavery, but they were not satisfied. They were not happy at all. They didn't have the right food that they wanted. They didn't have the right drink that they wanted. And they were, oh, Moses, who made you the leader anyway? You know who did? God. So they would have done well to have followed what he said. You know, God put them in charge. And several people tried to take Moses' place, but they found out that that was not a good idea. Miriam, at one point, got leprosy. Remember? Because they were standing against Moses. Now, the man that God had chosen. But here we find Paul preaching the gospel. He uses the same method that Stephen used. He started off talking about the people of Israel and the Old Testament and how they developed and all that. And he's doing the same thing. This is a system that we find many times in the scripture. They go back and talk about what happened in the past and how it's going to affect the future. And so here it says he suffered their manners in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. So he's dividing up the land to the tribes of Israel. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years. You know, we have the book of Judges with these people that were leading the nation up until Samuel the prophet. But the people weren't happy. They didn't like being under the judges. So they asked for a king. Remember? That's what happened. Verse 21. Afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. He reigned for 40 years. And he, I guess he did all right for a while. But then he got jealous and vindictive, started trying to kill David and all the rest. And then it says in verse 22, and when he had removed him, that is Saul, God removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my God loved David in a special way. He was one who sought to do God's will. And there was, of course, we know he sinned. Yes. He sinned with Bathsheba and all of the rest. But that's the only time, he says. The case of Uriah the Hittite was the only black mark on the line, on the life of David. According to the word, he says he was a man after my own heart. Of this man's seed, notice. God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. It didn't take Paul long, did it, to get around to Jesus? You remember? Philip did the same thing when he was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Isaiah chapter 53. He said, who is this talking about? This is Philip again, with the same scripture that preached unto him, Jesus. There in Isaiah chapter 53. And throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, we find Jesus. And here, the descendant of David, he was the son of David. And he raised up a Savior, Jesus. When John and first preached, before his coming to the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, John the Baptist, that is, came first preaching that Jesus was coming. He said, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whoever among you feareth God, whoever he is, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem, the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. He's talking about Israel here. They read the scriptures in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all these prophets that spoke about Jesus, but they didn't understand it. And they condemned him. Though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. You remember, Pilate wanted to set him free, didn't he? He said, he hasn't done anything wrong. I find no fault in him. And yet the people persuaded him. Jewish leaders and others said, oh, no, crucify him. They condemned him. Though they found no cause of death in him, they desired that Pilate would slay him, kill him. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. Oh, we've finally gotten rid of Jesus. Here he is in the grave, in the sepulchre. All of his talk, what's he going to say? And what does it say about it? I lost my mind. Where was I reading? What verse am I? 30? 30. Thank you very much. But God raised him from the dead. There it is. They thought they'd gotten rid of him. Oh no. 3 days later, there he was. He arose again from the dead. God raised him from the dead because it was impossible that he could stay dead. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
And he's still alive.
Amen.
He's here with us by his Spirit. And someday he's coming back in person to take us home to be with him. So, thanks Lord for that. God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them, which came up with them from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. All these people saw him. His disciples saw him, the women, remember? It was the women that went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus on Sunday morning. And when they got there, the tomb was open. The angels were there. Oh, he's risen! Yes, praise the Lord. And then they saw him. And they went and told the other disciples. And then it says that at one time there were above 500 brethren at once that saw him. After he was risen. There's no question about it. He is risen. He is living today. And it says here in verse 33, God has fulfilled the saying unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten. Another reference to the Old Testament that talks about Jesus. God raised him from the dead. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. See, Jesus didn't see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. He was laid to his fathers and saw corruption. David, yes. Be it known unto you, therefore, men, brethren, that through this man, through Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He's the one who is able to forgive us our sins.
Amen.
Through him. He's the only one that can do that. And by him, notice this, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. See, through faith in the Lord Jesus, believing in him, we are justified.
Amen.
Justified freely by his grace. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. You see, the Jews were kind of mystified by all of this. And they left. They said, oh, well, we've heard this before. But the Gentiles, you know, we want to hear more about this. We want to know more about this man that you're talking about, this Christ. Who is he? How can he be alive after all this time? Paul had to explain that he is the Son of God, right? From all eternity, he came down to be with us for a while and to save us from our sins and then go back to heaven. So anyway, we find here the Gentiles want to hear more. Here we go. The missionaries. I'm sure that that's exactly what they wanted to hear. What? Then we're going to have the opportunity to reach a whole new group of people that they have not reached before. And so they are ready. And they were following Paul and Barnabas, speaking to them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. What's happening with the Bible here? Huh? Look at this. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Once again, whenever God works, there's always opposition. And that's what's happening here. These people are envious. Oh my goodness, they drew a greater crowd than we've grown. They spoke against Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, that is, the Jewish people. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. What a wonderful day that was, huh? Not that he's forsaken the Jew. He's still going to work with them later. You know that from all the scripture. But here, at this point, here they're turning to the Gentiles to give them the life message of Christ and his love. But so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Remember, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. That thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, of course, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, you can explain that any kind of way you want to. I know we've got Calvinism and all that business, but anyhow, it's those that put their faith and trust in Christ Jesus. You know, it's by grace we're saved through faith. And, of course, God knows from the beginning who's going to believe in this. So in that sense, those that are ordained to eternal life. You know, by his foreknowledge, he knows who's going to be saved and who's not. But we don't. So who do you tell? Who do you tell about Christ? You know, we all need it. And those who believe will be saved. I hope each and every one of us here this morning do believe. You know whether you do or not. If you don't, you can't. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Say, yes, I believe Jesus died for me. He arose again and that he will save me if I'll only ask him to. Put my faith and trust in him. So, he says, for so the Lord hath commanded us, saying, I accept thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. God's word is getting around. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their country. Again, it's always that way. Wherever God is doing a mighty work, Satan is seeking to oppose it. Turn them away. Get rid of these people. They shook the dust of their feet against them and came under our company. Paul and Barnabas said, all right, that's the way you want it. We'll just go somewhere else. Right? Proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And notice what it said first, the last one. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They didn't let it bother them. They said, okay, that's the way you want it. If you want to die and go to hell, that's your privilege. Right? Not that anybody wants you to, but certainly we all have that freedom. So anyway, we find here the message that Paul preached is the same one that we need to hear today. Christ offers forgiveness of sin, justification to all who believe in him. And we give out here. It's it. Christ is the Savior, and we are his people by faith in him. So the disciples are filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So the result of all that is, how should we feel? We should be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
Rejoicing. Rejoicing because of what God has done and will do if we will only trust him. Put our faith and our confidence in him. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to be in your house. We pray that you'll bless each one of us as we go our separate ways. Watch over us and keep us in your care. And we do pray for a special blessing on those happy birthdays that you'll have to take for them and bless them by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.